Hey everyone, welcome to Redacted. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Wednesday. You got through your hump day. Mm-hmm. I'm Natalie Morris.
I'm Clayton Morris, and hump them if you got them.
Consensually. Uh-huh. We have a busy show for you today. We're going to talk about war deaths. We're going to talk about how the United States doesn't really track them. But then when someone accidentally dies, they'll just say it's a terrorist and move on. There's a new investigation of a death in Syria, and it will... If this doesn't upset you, you might be a sociopath.
Yeah, you might be hooked up wrong. Like, if this doesn't bother you, you might be hooked up wrong.
You might be, what my dad says, half a bubble off plum.
Which is a good carpentry reference, half a bubble off plum. Yeah. Also, we're going to look at the DEA convention, the DEA event, which just unfolded in Washington, D.C. You know, DEA, we've been covering it here on the show, which is the super application made by Google and Visa and backed, of course, by USAID. It's basically how they are going to surveil all of Ukraine. It's already rolled out almost fully. So all of the banking, all of the surveillance, you can even rat on your neighbors, all of it. Well, they just had a big convention. A big event in Washington, D.C., and there were some revealing moments, which we're going to bring you and talk to you about this crazy surveillance.
And Target has a new line of clothes that will help you bind your breasts and tuck in your balls. I have a lot of questions about ball tucking. I'm the only one on this show that has no balls. We have Philip and David in our control booth. I look forward to this.
I'm tucking mine right now.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I went to Target and...
I'm looking forward to this conversation where we talk about how you know if someone at the beach is tucking, and also why Target had to walk back this line of Pride clothing. All that and more as Redacted starts right now.
Welcome, everyone. What are you looking at my eyes for?
Are you okay? Clayton has such red eyes from the allergies right now.
And I don't really have the allergy problem, but then I just took some eye drops before the show.
Oh, my God. They're going to be able to see that, so we might as well mention it because
People will be like, are you high? Are you? I've never done a drug in my life, but tonight maybe I'll start. No, it was allergies, so I did some drops because they were like,
I'm like
on
this.
Fire. They're like on fire. I'm sure.
What's wrong with you?
How many of you guys are dealing with crazy
Clayton,
allergies?
Count backwards
right now?
From 10.
Yeah. Can you walk in a straight line and count? How many of you guys are dealing with crazy allergies right now?
Put your glasses on, honey, and then that will make it better.
I guess.
That will start to block out some of the pollen.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, we've got a busy show for you on this Wednesday. Thank you guys so much. We didn't mention Dan Cohen, our redacted correspondent. We sent him to Colombia, the country of Colombia. He's going to be filing a number
Speaking of someone who has balls, that like
yes.
a guy goes and hangs out with just some dangerous
untucked balls on that guy.
Yeah. So he's going to be joining us from Colombia with an update and going to be filing a number of stories down there as that country descends into ruins. So we will be checking in with Dan a little bit later in the show. But we do have a daily newsletter. And it is the best newsletter in the world. I hear from people all the time. They stop me on the street. I'll just be walking down the street with a dog. And people, they don't even know me. They're just like, they're just whistling. And they're talking about the Redacted morning newsletter. And I'm like, wow. Wow, you don't even know. You don't even know that I'm one of the people responsible for the Redacted newsletter. It's so great that you're a fan of it. It's totally free. And it kind of informs your morning. It's something you can download, get on in your inbox first thing when you wake up in the morning. You can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes, and we cover about 5 or 6 of the big stories of the day, a couple of things you might have missed while you're sleeping. We try to add a little bit of humor to it, give you some market updates. Natalie and I spend about 2.5 hours, I would say, or maybe 3 hours every morning writing it, putting it together. So it's a lot of work. But then hopefully by the time you wake up on the East Coast in the United States, it's about 6:30, about 7 a.m. Eastern time, it'll be in your inbox. So it's totally free to sign up. It's a way for us to stay connected to you. So just go to redacted.inc, that's the website, not.com, and put in your email address, sign up, and you'll receive it tomorrow morning. So you'll get the Thursday morning edition. But you have to verify your email. That's very, very important. We'll send you a welcome email. Just go to your spam folder, look for it. It'll come from me, Clayton at redacted.inc. So just verify that, put us in your VIP, and then tomorrow morning you will get the newsletter. All right, let's get to the news, because we've got a lot of it.
All right. Well, the United States is walking back a drone strike in Syria. This is the man that they say was killed, or they don't say. Let me start that again. This is the man that the U.S. government killed with so-called precision strikes in Syria, precision drone strikes. This is Lofiti Hassan Misto. His age is reported inconsistently. He was somewhere between the ages of 56 and 60. The United States did say they conducted a drone strike and they were hunting down an al-Qaeda leader, but they have sort of begrudgingly had to admit it may have been this guy. He is the father of 10. His brother says he was not political, had nothing to do with al-Qaeda, al-Nusra, the Islamic State, nothing. He was a farmer with poultry, cows, and sheep. Three of the animals were also killed. Now, we know this because on May 3rd, U.S. Central Command did, in fact, say that they launched a drone strike in Syria on May 3rd and that they were aiming for a senior al-Qaeda leader. After people in this area started really raising ruckus that they killed a civilian, it was not a terrorist. The military begrudgingly opened an investigation 12 days later on May 15th. A military official said this to the Washington Post: "We are no longer confident we killed a senior AQ official." No longer confident.
But we were really confident that afternoon when we just bombed a nice shepherd who was out there with his goats.
Right.
Like, we were really confident that day. There's one guy in a field with his goats, and we killed him. We were confident.
Now, another person spoke to the Washington Post and said, "Though we believe the strike did not kill the original target, we believe the person to be al-Qaeda." Like, probably they were a terrorist. They were in Syria.
To be clear, he's a retired father of 10 who is a bricklayer, mm-hmm. a retired bricklayer.
He was a bricklayer. Now he was just a farmer. He was retired from
retired
that.
Retired from
right.
bricklaying, now a farmer. No, he was, and his family described him as not a lot of money, just trying to provide for his family. And America killed him.
Yes.
Because that's what we do.
Now, it's interesting, this quote here. I want to just highlight that this senior military official said he wasn't the original target, but we believe he was al-Qaeda anyway. Well, I want to talk a little bit about that and how the United States quantifies civilian casualties as they were terrorists anyway. There actually is protocol for that. This is a good example of the term precision strike or unilateral strikes. Those are misleading terms. They're marketing terms to make it seem like death can be done with a scalpel, that you can go in a region with bombs and just kind of precisely only kill what you want to kill and otherwise leave the landscape untouched. Targeting can only be as good as your intel, and a bird's eye view doesn't tell you if you're hitting a school or, you know, a civilian or a goat herder. That's why U.S. Army Colonel Amos Fox, that's this guy, he coined the term precision paradox about the U.S. war on ISIS. A precision paradox is a situation in which the failed promise of precision strikes, one strike, one kill, generated a creeping wave of destruction. So if we buy this bullshit that there is such a thing as precision strikes, that we can just go in and like only hurt the person we intend to, then you leave this wave of destruction because you keep doing it because everybody buys it. Right.
Well, we've been hearing this since the Iraq war, which is bunker busting bombs. They're precise. So we literally are just going to hit the bunker, nothing else. That's America, where we can hit bunkers with our bunker-busting bombs. And CNN would parrot this garbage on a regular basis that, look, these are so precise that civilians don't even get hit in it. We simply take out the al-Qaeda target, or we simply take out the terrorist.
Yes.
Well, and I would just want to point out, like, we do that, but it's like we've seen with Russia that they do precision strikes. Like, when they struck and I'm not condoning what Russia's doing or war or anything like that, but I'm saying, like, it is possible to have precise strikes because, like, the power plant that they hit, they didn't hit the turbines or whatever. They just hit the part that wouldn't make it so that it took 30 years to fix. You know what I mean? So it is possible, but with our intel, it's so flawed that we just hit whatever.
Well, I think there's a difference between precision strike of a person and precision strike of infrastructure. And Russia did admit that when it took out infrastructure just this week in their strikes, that three Ukrainians died. And so when you are trying to bomb things, there is usually collateral damage, and it's on you to admit it or not. But, you know, it's not like I'm thinking of a movie example where like 10 people are in a crowd and you can only make two in the middle that you want fall down. It's not like that. And Russia doesn't have that capability. I don't think anyone has that capability, you know, but. The media uses these terms, precision strikes. That's on them to not ask questions about civilian casualties. The fact that the administration, the Obama administration, came up with the idea of precision strikes, sold it to the media, and the media is like, sure, I'm sure no one else is dying. I'm sure that's fine.
Or they use training exercise accident. That's another thing that they use. Oh, it was a training exercise accident or equipment malfunction.
Right.
Oh, so we just take that. So you killed some innocent people because of an equipment malfunction. And the media in those State Department briefings or the Department of Defense briefings doesn't push back on these.
But at least the military is not doing in this instance what Obama did in Afghanistan and just count any male casualty as a terrorist. That is literally what the Obama administration did from the first week he took office. This is from Scott Horton's book, Enough Already, about the endless war on terrorism since 9/11. He says that on the third day of Barack Obama's presidency, he ordered two CIA drone strikes in Pakistan that killed 20 civilians. In effect, his administration was setting a new baseline. Just in Afghanistan, as in Afghanistan, they took care of the public relations problem by calling so-called collateral damage by just simply classifying all dead civilians as terrorists. And the New York Times was like, okay, Mr. Obama embraced a disputed method, they say, disputed method of counting civilian casualties that did little to box him in. In effect, counts all military age males in a strike zone as combatants. That's literally how they quantify civilian deaths, is like, did male fighting age victims die? Probably they were terrorists. Count them as terrorists, not civilians. And they get away with it because who's there to stop them?
Well, just remember Madeleine Albright, of course, famously telling us when asked about all the children that we killed, that America killed, you know, what do you feel about that? She said, well, it's, you know, it was collateral damage. What were her exact words?
She said her exact words were that it was worth it.
It was worth it.
Now, we're going to talk more about children in a second, because direct civilian deaths are one thing. And I mean, this is a crappy silver lining, but the silver lining here is the United States was like, oh, yeah, okay, we'll look into it. Not, oh, well, he was, you know, kept terrorist anyway. One person, well, you have two quotes. One person was like, that may not have been a terrorist. And the other one's like, probably he was Al-Qaeda anyway.
Just because he was there.
But... Yeah. And then I don't know if it was 60, you know, fighting age. The man was 60.
In Ukraine right now it is.
Sure. But at least we get an investigation at this point. They're not automatically saying probably it was terrorist. He was brown. It's just, you know, fine. But direct civilian deaths are one thing, and it's awful. But the nonstop war on terror has an even bigger death toll. This comes from a new report out of Brown University's Watson Institute for Foreign Policy. It says that more than 4.5 million people have been killed since the war on terrorists began since 9/11. And they took on the daunting task of calculating both direct and indirect deaths from wars in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Syria, and Yemen, missing Somalia, and Sudan. Most of these deaths were indirect, meaning they came from the post-9/11 wars. Destruction of economies, public services, and the environment. Direct deaths grow in scale. Indirect deaths just continue to grow over time. That means that these regions will continue to suffer long after the United States withdraws and Western media attention is looking towards these things. Now, take a look at how they sort of quantify these indirect deaths. Again, it's economic collapse and food security. So, you know, people still have to live in these regions. And most of us think, well, I mean, I don't think this, but I think the sort of general sentiment is that was probably a crab hole anyway. You know, it's probably about the same. It's not. It's not at all, especially when you look at how Libya was before U.S. invasion, Aleppo. You know, these are people who are used to being able to get antibiotics for their children, and then all of a sudden they can't, right? This is something that continues. Of these 4.5 million deaths, they say that 3.7 of them are from indirect causes. And Western countries make it even worse with their sanctions of mass destruction, which prevent economies from recovering in any meaningful way. Check out this chart. Now, I downloaded this report and the title went kind of wacky. So I'm sorry that text looks weird. But it's child malnutrition by war zone by country. Now, the dark red that you're seeing here is children that are wasting. That means they have a life-threatening condition that results from them simply just not getting enough food. Can you imagine a child wasting like composted banana? Now, there's another condition called stunting, which means they have chronic undernutrition in utero and early childhood, and they never reach their full potential of height or cognitive potential. Now, look at these huge numbers of children that are either wasting or stunting that has been left. These numbers were not like that prior to U.S. invasion. The report also finds that over 7.6 million children under five are just suffering from this malnutrition. That's the awful. Cumulative children. It's not like they didn't get a second helping or they don't like what food is putting in front of them. They literally have nothing. There's an awful story about this woman whose baby was, I can't remember if it was wasting or stunting. But, you know, started to get some disease and, you know, started to, like anybody, you know, something that most of us are like, oh, can we treat that with antibiotic? Like my daughter had scarlet fever a couple weeks ago and I'm like, well, I can get antibiotics and she'll be better tomorrow. Think of if you're in that situation and you can't, your child is already immunocompromised because they're starving. And then that baby dies because you can't find help in time. Story after story after story like that. And, you know, this next chart kind of lays out how these long-term, medium-term effects just affect people who live in this region. It's not like, oh, okay, you know, war's over, things can go back to the way they were. You know, again, there by some accounts, Aleppo, which is in Syria, you know, had terrible infighting in the early 2010s. And has begun to recover since, but Syria is still under massive sanctions. So children there will not have easy access to medicine the way that most of us in the Western world can. The report says that we need to call on our governments, including that of the United States, to alleviate the suffering. These wars are ongoing for millions around the world who are living with these effects. So we can all collectively want that, but unless the media wants that and stops sort of giving the military a pass for killing civilians or invading new places or not withdrawing, you know, we're not going to get that. And someone has to tell Israel, because this week, Israeli defense minister said that Israel's new government has doubled the number of strikes on Syrian and Iranian targets since taking office in December. Doubled. And this is something they're pretty proud of. We did that. And we intended to do that, and we will continue to do that.
Wendy Sheets, thank you for your super chat. Wendy says, thanks for covering this. The warmongers know that sanctions kill. Sanctions are designed to cause harm. Exactly.
It's
sanctions of mass destruction. And you can look at all of these areas where there's, you know, wasting and everything. The United States is always tied to it. The destabilization of what's happening in Central and Latin America, what's happening throughout Africa. And we told you, of course, that the sanctions against Russia would adversely affect those poor nations first, right? So those poor nations are feeling the brunt of the malnutrition. Just look what unfolded in Sri Lanka. Look what's unfolding in African countries. Look what's happening in Colombia right now. Look what's happening in Argentina and Honduras and Nicaragua and all of these countries that the United States looks to destabilize so that we can take control of them. Why do we have 453 now? Am I wrong on that number? 453 or is it seven? Yeah, I just get my military bases wrong. The United States has Is it 453 or is it 753? I can't believe that I have to think about 300 different.
It's more
different.
Than 400. I think
then it might be 750. It was 750. Yeah. It was seven or is it? Yeah. Anyway, ridiculous number of military bases around the world. And we just added, what, three more in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So we can now extend our proxy war reach even further into the Pacific.
Yeah, I just picked up a book called Cobalt Red, and it's about how the United States and Europe worked to destabilize the Congo so that they could continue to basically plunder there. And there are unimaginable riches in Congo cobalt. And I can't remember the other one now. And people are making millions, billions on it. All the tech companies say, oh, no, we only sustainably source cobalt. It's a lie because they are working through middlemen. They know every single device that you're using, the manufacturers, and Clayton's going to get mad and be like, no, Apple doesn't do it, because Clayton hates to hear about Apple doing that thing.
That's not true. I crap on them for all these minerals. I've talked about it here on the show.
It's going to make you uncomfortable.
It's not making me uncomfortable.
But every single device that you are using to watch this show or send a text or communicate has most likely its battery run on cobalt from Congo that was literally taken by child slaves. Congo, you know, had a leader in, I think, the late 70s or the early 80s that had intended for Congo's minerals and resources to be used to enrich the people who lived there. And the West destabilized that government and got rid of that person. So now we can plunder all we want there and have our nice electronics from slave labor of cobalt.
Well, and also remember that there's quite a bit of cobalt in Ukraine, which is very interesting why there's so much investment interest from the likes of BlackRock and others.
But in Congo, it's very specific. Almost 70% of electronics run on cobalt from Congo.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because of sort of the way the plate tectonics had run and the way that the sea had come into these areas. Anyway, I'll finish the book, and I'm sure I'm going to drone on about this further. And I would like to have the author of this book on the show if we can. So before we end this segment, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to point out, Clayton, it's 750 overseas bases roughly in more than 80 countries. Something that makes me curious is I would like to know what resources are in those 80 countries as to why we have, like, what interest do we have in those countries to have those bases there?
Right. Well, this
is probably minerals and things.
Well, this is exactly why we've been covering the Haiti story so closely, because it's the destabilization of Haiti in order to put our own military there in order to basically rape the countryside of their minerals. That's exactly what we want to do in Haiti. And so just wherever these military bases pop up, it's usually resources or a strategic launch pad for us to do further, you know, further intimidation.
Now, what is this comment? If the USA wasn't doing it, it would be another country.
Who said that?
Truth Hurts in the chat. Do you see other countries doing it? Lot of countries are not doing that, plundering other places and destabilizing each other. So I don't know if that argument fits, that like there's always got to be a bad guy. If the US wasn't doing it, someone else would.
So what you're saying is it's okay that the US is doing it
because someone else might do it or worse.
Right. I mean, literally, I mean, and this is not any support of it, but you can literally hear what Vladimir Putin's speech was yesterday. And he sent this to the Latin American Council meeting. They're having their big summit. And he specifically said, we want to have stability and peace and for countries to stay out of other countries' sovereignty.
And he spoke about a different type of unipolar order that is not based on this kind of plunder.
Multipolar. He talked about a multipolar order where all of these countries. So, but you're absolutely right. I mean, throughout history, of course, we had the Portuguese, which were the warmongering nation that
started
it all.
We had the Mongols, which actually, you know, the Mongols took more territory than the Romans in like 25 years.
Right. So then you have the Romans and then you have the Roman Empire. So are you saying that because the United States is doing it, that's a good thing? Like that's the lesser of some kind of evil?
Oh, we're the new Mongols. Okay.
The problem with that thinking is, we are them. So it's like, no, the BRICS nations are forming and these other countries are forming to stop us from doing it. That's what always happens. When that happens, the world comes together and tries to stop it. I mean, that person is basically saying, you know, if a bunch of kids had food that didn't have food, I'm going to steal it before somebody else steals. I'm going to steal it and eat it before somebody else does. It makes no sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would prefer. Okay, if by that argument you're like someone's going to do it, Okay, let's leave that as a valid point. I would prefer my tax dollars not be involved in it. I don't want to be involved in it. So, you know, at the very least, we can all hope that we are not actively involved in killing brown children and letting them waste away.
I like what Hector's House in our speech, in our chat says, Hector's House says, the BBC didn't cover Putin's speech.
Oh, that's so weird. So strange.
I love that. And somebody else said, hey, where was Redacted? Why didn't you guys cover... Where were you guys when Gaddafi was killed? Meaning, like, why didn't we cover it? I think Jacqueline wrote that. Why didn't we cover when Gaddafi was killed?
We didn't have a show.
He was killed in 2011, Jacqueline, just to be clear. And our show started about 2020, 2021. So about 11 years before we had a show. So we would have covered it, how the U.S. meddling in Libya. We actually have covered it since then.
I'm pulling the pregnancy card on this one. I was pregnant with Ava.
Pregnant at the time.
So I was busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. You weren't able to come to us for news at the time.
Hey, we're going to cover what's happening with Ukraine, and get ready, guys, because this could be happening to the United States next. These full surveillance program where you will be using a government-sanctioned app on your phone for your taxes, for all of your payments, the central bank digital currency, everything, all of the tracking. But even worse than that, you'll get to snitch on your neighbors and tell the government that your neighbor you think is a terrorist. We're going to talk about DIA, which is the super app that has been rolled out and deployed in Ukraine. It's the testing ground to monitor and track every Ukrainian. And they had a big event yesterday in Washington, D.C. And Max Blumenthal from the Gray Zone happened to bust it down and went in there. And we're going to show you some of that. Max is going to join us tomorrow here on Redacted to dive deeper into this story. But we're going to go through it in just a moment.
All right. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Fast Growing Trees, because you can breathe some life into your own backyard with fastgrowingtrees.com this spring. From shade to fresh fruit to privacy, or just become the jealous lawn, the lawn that everybody else can be jealous of your beautiful trees. Let fastgrowingtrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. They will give you advice on what works best in your area and how to care for it so that you don't have to put a lot into picking a tree that doesn't work in your region. Fastgrowingtrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy to grow plant, shrub, and tree varieties for your unique climate. Meyer lemons to evergreens and everything in between. Happy plants, happy home, right? But sometimes it's just hard to know which one will do the best. But that's no problem, because fastgrowingtrees.com helps you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs. Plus, their plant experts are always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through the season and beyond. So join over 1.5 million happy fast-growing trees customers by going to fastgrowingtrees.com/redacted right now, and you can get 15% off your entire order. So that's 15% off your fast growing trees at fastgrowingtrees.com/redacted.
Yeah, get that 15% off. And we ordered a Japanese maple for the front yard. It looks absolutely beautiful. Really, really great. And we also, as a gift for father-in-law, and mother-in-law, got them a beautiful tree.
Yeah, they were super excited. And they live in the Boise area.
Yeah. All right. I love some comments here in the chat. Let me on Rumble. I love what someone said. Solar Power Gaming says, why didn't you guys cover the Revolutionary War? Yeah, you couldn't cover Gaddafi at the time.
How do you know I didn't?
Someone said, I saw someone else on our YouTube channel said, why didn't you guys cover the moon landing? Why didn't you guys cover the moon landing? We could have.
We did talk about that.
We did talk about the moon landing just recently. Check out our full moon landing story, but we weren't there in 1969 to cover that. Unfortunately, we weren't born yet. Aaron Howell in our Rumble chat says the Gaddafi execution was rumored to be a response for his attempts to steer the country away from the United States dollar. It's not a rumor. That's the truth. That's absolutely the truth. Away from the U.S. petrodollar. And they made an example of him by sodomizing him with a sword. Yes, that's exactly what the United States did. That's how we treat people that want to move away from the U.S. dollar. That's what the United States did.
And Gaddafi was friendly to the United States for a long time, just like Saddam Hussein. They use them until they don't.
Exactly.
And then they turn on them and call them dictators.
All right, let's talk about the DIA event, the DIA convention. Did you guys get a ticket to the big DIA convention in Washington, D.C.? Were you on the guest list to go to DIA in D.C.? where USAID and Google and Visa were all there to, you know, show you how DEA works in Ukraine. Vladimir Zelensky showed up via video conference. So get ready for this to happen in the United States, guys. Total surveillance of everything you do using a central bank digital currency on your smartphone and other things. Washington, D.C. was home to a big Ukrainian event yesterday. Of course, Washington rolls out all of the red carpet for Ukraine, showing off this DIA super app, D-I-I-A. Now, this digital app was created by Google and Visa with the supervision of USAID. You know all about USAID. We've been covering it here on the show. It's meant as the ultimate way to control a population. And there's good old Sam Powers there. She's a USAID head. You know, she was just recently in Hungary trying to destabilize that country.
She was.
She gets around. She really gets around. So everything in government needs to know about you and control you. And all of it is right inside the DIA app. They make it sound like, hey, you're going to be able to pay for your groceries and, you know, apply for a mortgage and all of that. And also we'll track the shit out of you. And everything that you do is being watched. You can even snitch on your neighbor, basically. And they've rolled it out fully in Ukraine now. Friend of the show, Max Blumenthal from the Gray Zone, the great Max Blumenthal, was on hand at this event in D.C. I just love when Max, with a straight face, just asks the questions that we all want asked right to these people's faces. So he walks right up to the Ukrainian ambassador to the United States, and he asks her, namely, hey, just have a question for you. Why is Ukraine using this predatory DIA app to surveil its people? Like like they're all predators. Here's how he asks the question. Watch.
This event was about profiting off of war, turning Ukraine into a laboratory.
Are you absolutely
the
wrong?
Ruins of Ukraine into a laboratory for the fourth industrial revolution.
You're absolutely wrong.
Getting
ruined
Ukrainians
Ukraine.
All in a digital.
Now you're not interested in the answer.
Please. And can you tell me why my colleague Anya Parkov was on a kill list maintained by your government? Your interior ministry maintains a kill list of journalists, and my partner here, Anya Parnfield, is on it.
Unlike in Ukraine, you can't kill and ban your opposition here. Our Nazis actually have to hide behind the government, not serve in the government.
So that guy sticks his hands in the camera as he's trying. She's like, "Oh, you're not interested in the answer." No, but she walks away because she won't even talk. She won't even answer the question. Mm-hmm. Why are you rolling this out on the Ukrainian people? Like, do the Ukrainian people want this, or are they brainwashed? Are you forcing this on the people to surveil all of them? Like, again, it's about the people, and these corrupt governments who are running the show are pushing this down their throats. So she walks away. Here's Zelensky, though. They had him via satellite, or they did a little video presentation being featured at the event, talking about how DIA works. And, you know, here's Kara Swisher, a tech journalist. She's like a mouthpiece of all of these events where they want someone in D.C. to, like, moderate one of these events, these, like, government mouthpiece events. They always call her. Remember, she was the one moderating that Yoel Roth event recently?
Yes. Yeah.
And she was like all up and couldn't believe how Yoel Roth was being picked on and all of that. And so here she is again.
Oh, yes. No criticism of government intervention in social media whatsoever. But people mistake her crankiness for hard hitting journalism while she gives them a pass.
Yeah, exactly. So here she is. I'd actually be curious how much Kara Swisher was paid to MC this event. For DIA in D.C. And who paid her for it, by the way. I'd be curious about that. I wonder if she'll tell us. Anyway, here is Kara Swisher introducing Vladimir Zelensky to explain how DIA works.
So without further ado, first a video from President Zelensky.
Творіння Джобса, Apple, iPhone. І це його серце. І воно б'ється. Б'ється з кожним вібро під час дзвінка або під час СМС. А в ньому наше українське творіння держава у смартфоні.
Мільйони українців щоденно користуються нашим державним сервісом «Дія». Це більше 100 державних послуг без контакту з чиновниками, цифровий паспорт, відкриття рахунків, сплата штрафів, податків, отримання державної допомоги, збір коштів на допомогу армії. Все це українська «Дія».
Україна не випадково стала одним із глобальних лідерів в цифровізації публічних послуг і соціальних відносин. Це прямий наслідок того,
на що ми здатні, сміливість і освіта, здатність боротися за свої інтереси і знайти найзручніший шлях. А шлях, щоб реалізувати інтереси, це те, що дозволяє нам перемагати. Росія намагалась зруйнувати нашу цифрову стійкість, але ми не дали цього зробити. Український цифровий потенціал вистояв, він дуже міцний. Ми побудували кібероборону країни. Ми продовжуємо розвивати державний сервіс «Дія».
«Дія». «Дія». Ukraine is, of course, the most corrupt country in Europe. That's no secret, and nothing has changed since The Guardian ran this headline about Ukraine. Welcome to Ukraine, the most corrupt nation in Europe. Again, nothing has changed there. The only thing that has changed is the new enormous money laundering scheme that the United States has cooked up that uses to funnel billions of dollars to Ukraine, which then, of course, washes back to Washington, D.C. We all remember FTX, right? Then weapons contractors are enriched. Big houses are all being built all around D.C. Cranes are going up all over the place because all of these people are being enriched off of the war in Ukraine, and also using Ukraine as a petri dish for this digital transformation. So, you know, Zelensky gets up there and says, "We're the first." Yeah, why are you the first? Because literally the West has made you the first. They control everything you do. You're a NATO petri dish. Why are there 46 bio labs in Ukraine? Because it's not like we like the scenery in Ukraine. They are using Ukraine. They are using Ukraine to the last Ukrainian. That's exactly what they're doing. And these politicians get rich, and these weapons contractors make billions of dollars. USAID's Samantha Power was on stage. Oh, I love this. This is an amazing moment. Wake up grandma and tell her to come to your computer screen right now or your television screen to watch this. This is an amazing admission. This piece of video is amazing from Samantha Power on stage admitting that this money laundering scheme actually works. And sending $15 billion to Ukraine wouldn't have happened because they're a corrupt country if it weren't for the DIA app. Watch this.
One of the things that Congress has given USAID since this full-scale invasion began is an unprecedented amount of money mm-hmm. in direct budget support, which sounds kind of obvious. Of course, we would do that. We want to stand with Ukraine, but it's totally unprecedented, this kind of scale of investment. And we're talking along the lines of about $15 billion in a sense, cash to mm-hmm. the Ukrainian government, mm-hmm. which was famously corrupt, mm-hmm. you know, in past years and still has work, as you noted, to do on corruption today. I don't know if we could have gotten that money out of Congress if not for DIA. Mm-hmm. Because what DIA allows us to do is that direct budget support goes, yes, to the Ukrainian government, but then it goes to pay teachers, to pay healthcare workers, to pay first responders. And there's a digital trail. It's not, you know, some official deciding this or that. It actually is going directly into the bank accounts in a manner that just, it would have been untraceable in a prior regime.
Yeah. So they're corrupt.
And whoever was like nodding along, like, oh, they were corrupt. They still are. Makes sense.
So get this, right? What she just admitted there, they are the most corrupt country in Europe. They're still corrupt. And yet, and under normal circumstances, Congress would not have allowed this money to go to these people in government cash to the government. Like it would not have been approved, she says, if it weren't for this app, this money laundering scheme that we've cooked up. That's how we've been able to get money. And think about the argument is, of course, in the United States that $20 billion would literally lift the United States out of poverty. $20 billion. Think about that for a second. We've already spent upwards of $150 billion in Ukraine. And she's admitting that $15 billion was sent directly to teachers, public workers, etc., right inside of Ukraine. Does America have an education problem? Are American teachers actually paid well? Do we have trash piling up on cities across the United States? I saw a walk down San Francisco today by a person who lives in San Francisco, and he posted a video just walking home, his normal path home, just piles of garbage everywhere because they just don't have the people to pick it up. So we can send $15 billion to Ukraine.
Well, I think that's overly simplistic description of the problems in San Francisco.
Well, but it's just one example is my point, anecdotally. But, you know, do we have potholes everywhere? Do we have the public works that aren't being taken care of in the United States?
Sure.
With crumbling bridges? Just drive across the South Street Bridge in Philadelphia.
But Samantha Powers is not someone who cares about actually directing resources where they're needed. She is the one who is the mastermind around convincing Obama to go into Libya and start a war there.
Yes.
You know, she was behind it because of sort of her personal vendetta about the 2016 election and, or I'm sorry, the election with Hillary Clinton. And she's used to cooking up these stories in order to create foreign conflicts.
So what's also amazing, though, is how this app actually works. What the DIA app not only does, it will do everything. What it does is everything inside the app. And as Max Blumenthal points out, that the USAID-sponsored Visa and Google-assisted DIA app not only forces Ukrainians into a digital ID panopticon, it encourages them to snitch on fellow citizens, reporting them as Russian collaborators so they can be arrested and disappeared. So a panopticon...
It's Foucault's.
Right. So we talked about this last week on the show, actually, Dan and I did in a segment where the idea is just picture like a circular prison, right? Where all of the prisoners are on the outside of the prison, like in the outer circle of it. And there's a guard tower in the center and you have no interaction with the other prisoners, but the guard tower, you're under constant surveillance. You're being constantly watched. And it's maddening, right?
It's like I had a professor in college describe it as Rear Window, Alfred Hitchcock movie, where you know you're being watched and there is a vantage point that can see all apartments, all units, but you can't see your captor or you can't see your observer, but you know you are in this state of constant surveillance.
Panopticon.
Yeah.
And he says it encourages them to snitch on fellow citizens, reporting them as Russian collaborators so they can be arrested and disappeared. And they explain it in a video during this event. And they playing it like, hey, this is a great thing. You can snitch on your neighbors. Watch this.
War bonds aimed at rebuilding the liberated and soon to be deoccupied Ukrainian cities. State mortgage. Military, medics, teachers, and scientists can apply for the state mortgage right in the app. E-Enemy. A chatbot that helps any citizen safely transfer info about the location of Russian troops, names of collaborators, and enemy movements to the armed forces. Numerous attacks of Russian army destroyed a number of TV towers. To provide Ukrainians with uninterrupted access to information, we launched DIA Radio and DIA TV, so that even under blackouts, millions could feel present. And added the in-app Army of Drones game to help Ukrainians both distract and donate to the common purpose. Has the enemy launched cyber attacks on Ukraine? Of course they have, and they failed. Even when the world is falling apart, our main task is to protect the people. Together, we can build a stronger one.
Dia.
Yeah, Roger in the chat says, this is like 1984.
It is, and you think, we even added a drones war game. So you can snitch on your neighbor, like you can use the drones to pinpoint where your friends are and then drop a bomb on your friend in the game, basically.
It's like next door, only people die.
Right. Yeah. We know there's a cat that's been pooping in someone's yard. We want to report this. We want
to
make it.
Please send a drone over to whoever's not picking up their dog poop.
In Ukraine, according to this app, can you make that person disappear? Can you send the security services to have that person disappear or just send one of those drones? I'm playing, and it almost reminds me of like Ender's Game. By the way, if you've never read Ender's Game, one of the great science fiction books of all time, but one of the conceits of the idea is that these kids are playing this video game, right? And they're so good and they're training and they think they're just playing a game. And little do they know they're being used in actual warfare. It's like the guys that, sit in those trailers back in Oklahoma City and actually fly drones around the world. They can do it from there just with a little remote control. It's the same thing. You just have, it's unbelievable. So Max Blumenthal's, go ahead.
I just want to say really quick, remember when that New York video about the nuclear fallout where they're like, hey, you're going to go in this area and then you're going to get on social media and stuff. That's exactly what they're saying. Like, if there's something destructive, that we're going to be there for you with our propaganda, with the news on the TV, news on the radio, and that was in New York. So it's like they're like trying to already get us thinking about, oh, how convenient that would be.
Yeah, and as you had just texted too, USAID is now working with the Ukrainian government to look at other developing countries in Africa. Of course, as we've been covering here on the show, and Dan Cohen has been reporting for us, and others, this is just the testing ground, guys. Like, this is the first rollout of this app, and they're going to be rolling it out as digital infrastructure into other countries under the guise of, like, cybersecurity protection. Brought to you by Google, Visa, and USAID. So we have our hands in all of it. We have our hands in every level of it, so we'll be able to guide and watch everything.
I can't believe what I'm seeing. It's like, this is a movie, right? This can't be real.
Yeah.
And all of those people are in there like, we're doing this.
We're applauding. Yeah, let's applaud.
Good.
Yeah, it's like
I'm
drones.
For it.
It's like Washington, D.C. drones, because they're all being enriched. Everyone in that room is like making money off of this whole program here.
I'm watching this and I'm like, what if I were invited to that? What if I were sitting there? What would I do? Like, would I be one of those people who just stands up and like, this is crazy, we're all gonna die? Walk out? Or would I, you know?
Would you get up with soup and pour it on someone's head?
I wouldn't do that. But I don't know. This kind of stuff makes me want to wear a sandwich board.
No, I mean, what you wouldn't do is exactly what Max Blumenthal did, which is try to get some answers from these a-holes. And tomorrow we will have Max. Max is going to be here on the show. We're going to deep dive this Dia stuff.
It's like inconvenience has become the new boogeyman.
Yeah.
They want to sell convenience, and that's the protection. Like, we've got the Space Force now. They've got all these little boogeymen that they can sell to people for just on convenience.
Yeah. Let us know in the chat, what would you do if you were sitting in that room? If you were like, what? How did I get here? What am I going to do?
Yeah, it's crazy. Let us know in the chat. Yeah. All right, we've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk about Target. Oh, move over, Bud Light. Target decides to sell breast-binding clothing to young kids so you can get your daughters, you know, get them started early in abusing their bodies with these, I don't know, their Pride collection clothes. We've got a lot to say about what Target is doing. And so does the internet, by the way. So we're going to tell you about Target. We're also going to be joined by Dan Cohen, who is in Colombia, covering a number of stories for us here on Redacted. So we'll bring you that update, as all of the cocaine that flows out of Colombia into the United States from these poor farmers who have been just crushed under inflation and sanctions, Western sanctions, and what is actually happening there it's absolutely devastating. So we'll bring you that story coming up.
Yes, but first, do you want to talk about Aura or do you want to talk about Target?
Let's talk about Aura. So you can find anything. Anyone can find anything on the internet, including your full legal name, your personal email, all of that stuff, all of your stuff about your relatives and all of that. And, you know, if you do a search for things like that, you're going to be shocked at what you find of your own personal information that's out there, you know, bank account information, stuff that's on the dark web. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, our friends at Aura. Aura will identify data brokers that are exposing your information and automatically submit opt-out requests on your behalf. They'll even opt you out of junk mail and telemarketing lists. And you can use our link today, which is aura.com/redacted, to try it for 2 weeks just to see how many data brokers are sharing your information. You're going to be blown away within those 2 weeks as to how much stuff is out there. We'll also have the link in our description, or you can scan that QR code that's right on the screen right now. So, you know, we're talking about this this Dia thing where they're like watching and, you know, all of that. And here's an opportunity for you to like protect yourself. Use that QR code right on your screen to launch it. You know, it's amazing. We had our Facebook account hacked about 2 years ago, and it was like wound up, I don't know, somebody in like Vietnam had taken over the account, and took us months to deal with getting it back. And then we found that some of our stuff was on the dark web. It was crazy. It's crazy. And Aura, what's amazing is it'll send you alerts. So it sends you alerts and it lets you know when this stuff is found and you're able to go in and get rid of it. They also have a VPN, a password manager, real-time credit and identity theft monitoring, internet parental controls that protects your devices from malware. So go to aura.com/redacted to start your free trial. And we'll also have a link to it in the description below. You can also use that QR code on your screen, aura.com/redacted.
All right. Well, Target is removing from its stores some of their Pride merchandise after backlash on social media that had tuck-friendly bathing suits and products that offered light binding. So what we're talking about is binding up your boobies, like this gesture, like it, you would otherwise not know.
Yeah.
And tucking in your balls. I don't know how to say that nicely. Remember that? Your testicles.
Yes. Tuck in your testicles and
your testicles.
Bind your breasts. Like Target. So someone, just to be clear, someone at Target was like, okay, you know, sales or what they are, whatever. We're having a board meeting. We're deciding what we want to do in the next quarter to boost sales. Let's create a pride section where we sell breast binding garments for little girls so they can't develop properly, therefore mutilating their bodies. Who's in favor of this? And
well,
the rest of the board decides to do that?
There are partnerships that Target has been working on, and I'm going to show you that. And they say that these body manipulation gear were not marketed to children. They only came in adult sizes, but they were for young teens. And there is still plenty of pride gear that beyond this, like body bondage gear that was sold for Pride Month. And of course, June is coming, and we have seen in recent years that corporate America sort of ratchets up their virtue signaling around June Pride Month. And, you know, that has come to mean something completely different than it did maybe even 10, 15 years ago when gay people did not have the right to marriage or other, you know, sort of civil liberties. Gay rights is pretty much a done deal. Now, Pride Month is usually Trans Rights Activist Month. It's not just about being gay any longer. And a lot of this stuff is about being queer. And some of the sweatshirts had even said, like, and transphobia, not trans people, right? It's you, it's not us, that kind of thing. I'm going to show it to you. Now, let's go over this body binding stuff first, because these are the latest terms in fashion. It's like Spanx for gender dysphoria. First, though, this is one of the videos that Libs of TikTok posted of a woman going through the Pride merchandise in the kids section. Now, notice she doesn't say their children's sizes, the binding stuff. So that's an important distinction. I don't know if that's better. You decide. Watch.
We're at Target right now, and there's a lot of controversy going on about all of the Pride stuff that's coming out with kids' clothes and things like that. So we're going to go to the kids' section, and we're actually going to see if they're putting weird, creepy, uncomfy stuff on children's clothing. Okay, this is the child section. This is literally the kids section. I'm next to a literal onesie that says whatever the hell that means. We have Glad You Came Out and I'm So Happy That You're Queer in the kids section. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry, but pride and toddler don't belong in the same sentence. So I found an extra small swimsuit in the child section. It says light binding effect on it. And then the bottoms in the kids section, keep in mind, say tuck friendly construction. They're giving it to your kids. If that doesn't give you a reason to boycott Target, I don't know what does, but this shit's getting out of hand. They're targeting children, whether you like it or not, and it's time that people actually do something about it. Because if they don't, then guess what? That shit won't just be in Target, it'll be in every store ever.
So it is in the kids section.
Well, yes, but they were a small size. They were, I mean, they're for teens mostly, like developing boobs, the light binding.
What are we, we're splitting hairs over. It was in a kids section. I mean, these are...
So this distinction, though, is how they're labeling these videos as misinformation, because they're saying they're not for kids. They're for young adults, and they're not even kids' sizes, because, you know, kids' sizes end at 12, usually 12 to 14. And so what they're saying is that these are small sizes for teens. It's different.
So TikTok is taking these videos down because Target is labeling them as misinformation?
Well, I don't know about that. Her video seems to be still up, but like the Associated Press and the media is saying that this is disinformation because they're not children's clothes. They're sized for young adults. Now, I don't think that's any better, right? Especially when you consider that by light binding, what they mean is binding the breasts of a young woman, specifically developing breasts, so that if that young woman wants to present as a man, they can tie up their chest really tightly to reduce the appearance of breasts. even the groups that advocate for this, like mermaids in the UK, they know it's dangerous. And they say that if you're going to do this, you need to take breaks and not wear them for longer than 8 hours and not wear them every day. So
God.
How do you choose which days you let your girls out and which days you tie them up? I'm just curious if you're advocating for girls to do this to themselves, but not every day. One of the few studies that's been done on breast binding was not a clinical study. It was a questionnaire type study. Shows that 97% of young people that used breast binders had negative health outcomes.
97%.
90. So 3% is like, yeah, that's great. But, you know, if you take your body and you bind it up in a way that it's trying to grow against, that's obviously going to hurt you. Breast binders have been shown to result in mild to severe adverse health effects, including back pain, shoulder pain, chest pain, shortness of breath, bruised and fractured ribs, and dermatological problems. So Target is selling products that have light binding effects. Now, maybe light means it doesn't happen quite so often, but that raises the question, is this cool? Is that a gateway drug that you can bind a little and then you start binding more? How much longer until Target has the full-on breast binders that are the kind that can hurt you? Now, yeah, go ahead.
I just want to cover the tucking part. Like, as a guy,
We're going to get to the tucking part.
Okay, I'll let you do.
Are we still on YouTube? It looks like, did YouTube kick us off? Because our stream just stopped.
Oh shit! Yeah, it looks like they did. Hang on, let me get on that.
So YouTube banned us because of Target.
Because of Target?
I don't know.
Do we have any?
I don't know. We're on Rumble, so let's just keep going and find out
YouTube
what I
ended. Yeah, keep going.
Okay, we don't have any notices or anything, right?
That's what I'm looking at. Real quick.
No notice.
Would we get a notice about something like that?
I mean, yes, but go ahead.
Okay, let's talk about tucking, and you guys can figure that stuff out because I want to ask some questions about tucking of the penis and testicles. Like a jock strap built into a one-piece bathing suit, that's what they mean by tucking, bathing suits that tuck. Just like this new Adidas swim ad that they used a biological male to model, this is what they mean by tucking. I don't know if that's really healthy for male testicles. There haven't really been studies about this kind of gear or garment. But studies do show that wearing a jock strap can cause a hernia. So I don't know. Do you think we can compare tucking a bathing suit to a jock strap, boys?
Tucking?
Like, this doesn't look as...
No, not at all. Because let me say, like, a jock strap, you keep your... Okay, we're not on YouTube. You can keep your penis forward and up. Tucking, you're putting it down and in. And if you get an erection, that's going to freaking hurt. Because it's like going the opposite way. Whereas a jock strap, it's still up. It's just got a protection. You know what I mean? Where tucking is like you're tucking it in underneath.
Yeah. So you're going the opposite direction. Like a cup, like you'd wear in football, you know, or we would wear all the time football. It's a cup. It's just a protective.
Up towards your stomach?
Yeah. You do whatever you want with it. Yeah. It's just like a cup. It's like
tucking, you're putting it down and back so that you don't even see it.
Yeah. Okay. But if you look at the Adidas ad, it doesn't look like anything's really all that tucked. So maybe that's not doing it right. I don't know.
I don't answer that question.
Well, Blaze reporter Alex Stein decided to try the tucking and binding bathing suit on. And here is his video. It is very tongue-in-cheek. He's obviously poking fun. But, you know, given that he's got the male parts, we can at least see how that works in practice. Take a look.
This is not, you guys see this? It's tuck friendly. You see? And check it out. It's awesome. Yeah, I saw it on TikTok too.
We're at Target checking out their tuck friendly Pride collection. That's right, guys. Extra crotch coverage, tuck friendly construction. Thank you, Target.
No, it is.
I think this is a tucking one.
Yeah, it is. Look.
Tuck friendly construction. Okay. Well, let's see how tuck friendly it is.
Hey, well, you can.
Wow, it's so tuck friendly. It's nice to be. Let's go in.
Yeah, Steve. Okay, let's just talk over it because he just kind of says silly things.
Yeah.
David, never text me that again about tucking. So he's not that tucked. Like they're just in. They're just out there, right?
Well, you've still got some stuff that's up. Yeah, there's still. You've got your testicles there. You know, you can only do so much. But it's like it's meant to.
I just don't think he's tucking though.
You think he's not doing it right?
No, he's not, because I just looked at several different pictures that I won't share with you. On what it is, and it is going backwards. That obviously is not going backwards.
Okay, so that's a user error. But I mean, I live in Europe. I see lots of men in Speedos on the beach, and they're not tucked in a Speedo. They just let it. Is this gesture helping you? They just let it hang there.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
And that's not tucking.
Please stop. People are saying, please stop.
Okay. Look.
Let's stop talking about the tucking piece of this. All right. Is that the most important part of this, or is the fact that
you're bored of this?
No, well, I'm not bored of it. I care if a man
wants to take a Speedo and like extend it up to an asymmetrical bathing suit. I don't, right? But don't tell me that, you know, bathing suits can be unisex, because I have very specific needs based on my biological body for a bathing suit, like boob support. So Target may not be marketing these to young children, but they do have a whole collection of Pride gear. Now, this bathing suit that they do market to young children, it says here that it is, that I know that's small on the bottom. What it says that I've highlighted is thoughtfully fit on multiple body types and gender expressions. And then below that, it says they partnered to make this with Humankind Swim. Well, this is the company that they say they partnered with to make these gender neutral children's swimwear. And Humankind Swim does make swimsuit binders for children, although just not in the smallest sizes. Take a look at the kids' swim top. And here I have circled that they do offer lightweight compression or binding for the kid swim top. And in fact, many of the testimonials on this site are from women who have had breast removal surgery. Here is the full-on compression swim top that they offer. You know, it's easy for that person because I'm pretty sure they were never going to grow boobs. So I don't know how much of a marketing tool that is. But again, it says there it acts as a breast binder. So Target is using this company that they're partnering with to market swimwear to children. So even if they didn't have that line on their floor, they still are working with a company that does sell breast binding for children.
Well, all these people in the chat are saying they are marketing to children. I mean, they're in the kids section with all of this Pride stuff in the kids section. And I see people online, like I see people like, we're glad it's now, like there are people that are supportive of it, like we're glad it's now in the kids section. So there are people who are supportive of this are acknowledging that it's in the kids section. They are marketing it to kids. This is in, well, what else could it be?
And southern states, some of the southern states got so much backlash that they're hiding these sections in the back. If it was adult sections, they wouldn't have to hide it. People would not be up in arms if it wasn't in the kids section.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that the way that they're spinning this, though, is that it wasn't in the, like, you know, toddler through 12 size. That it was, it starts at, yes, they're kids at preteens. But what they're saying is we're not doing it for the, like, grade school age. I don't think that's any better. I'm not making that distinction. They are, and we're just trying to understand what their distinction is because they think it's better. They also partnered with a brand called AB Pralin, which has been associated with Satanism. They have products on their site saying that Satan respects pronouns. So they pulled their products that were in partnership with them as well. Now, what they're saying is that they've done this because they've experienced threats impacting our team members' sense of safety and well-being at work. Given these volatile circumstances, they say we're removing items that have been at the center of the most significant confrontational behavior. Because you can imagine that the women that we just showed you on TikTok, people like her coming up to people at Target and being like, what is this? This is not acceptable in public society. This is prurient. And a Target employee just can't answer for it because it's not them making those decisions. So Target will pull these, and, you know, I'm sure we will try to see them weave it back into their product line next year. They have appropriated gay rights, again, not as a civil rights movement, but as a money-making movement. And they are, in fact, promoting body manipulation, whether they say they are or not. So far, though, they have not tried to sell these. This is only available on the internet. This is the Bitty Bug. It's a knit prosthesis for children, although they say it's not for infant or toddlers. Probably because Target's corporate buyer doesn't know about this yet, but I'm sure next year they'll have a whole rainbow assortment
of Bitty Bugs. Soft. What the hell is that?
It's for when your small child has gender dysphoria, but feels bad because they don't have a penis. You can put a knit one inside their underwear. And I'm sure that's totally safe. I wonder how you wash that. Probably you don't. And you are then, you know, these things exist. That's not at Target. You've got to think that's just a matter of time.
Oh, my God. Well, we all need a bath after that. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sort of pushback comes from people on this. Would you guys compare this to the Bud Light backlash?
I would. I don't think they're going to see that level of a sales decline from this, just because I think boycotts usually tend to lose their steam, and Bud Light seems to be sustainable for whatever reason. But can you boycott everything, really? You know, like the marketing, the piece we did last week about Miller Lite and all of these marketing companies that want to silence voices that are conservatives by not advertising. Like, can we really boycott all of them? It's Starbucks, it's BP Gas, it's Disney, it's Nestle, it's like literally everything. Can you boycott everything to achieve an aim? I don't know, but we'll see how this plays out for Target.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. Yeah, so it looks like who knows? It looks like YouTube just ended our stream. They didn't like us talking about this.
I'll deep dive into that when we're done here. So
yeah,
I checked the server. And nothing seems to have happened on the server. It just gave us an unknown error because it just stopped on YouTube. It stopped right when you said something about letting the ladies out.
Yeah, well,
because I talked about my boobs. Boobs in general.
They don't like. They have their corporate backers, you know. If like Target, you know, funnels a boatload of money to YouTube, then all they need to, you know, that's the same thing with Pfizer. We saw that with Pfizer, and it's exactly what happens. That's why, you know, you can't trust the mainstream media. But we're glad to be here on Rumble, and we're also streaming live on Twitter right now as well. Oh, I should mention, what time is it there? It's 5. Yeah. So in 1 hour, Governor Ron DeSantis will announce for presidency that he's running for president. He'll be doing that in 1 hour on Twitter with Elon Musk on Twitter. Think about the power of Twitter these days. Holy smokes. You know?
Yeah.
So Ron DeSantis announcing he will run against Donald Trump and against Joe Biden, basically. So we'll see. We'll see.
You know, Obama like launched his candidacy with an emphasis on MySpace, and he even had his own social network for a while in 2007 as he was running for president. And that, you know, the media gave him so many cool points for being like the first internet president. So the
digital president.
We'll see.
It's amazing how Twitter has kind of come full circle. You know, it was like, it was big, then it wasn't, now it's big again. So we'll see. Anyway, we got more news to get to. We're going to go to Columbia and check in with Dan Cohen for a report from the coca fields where all the cocaine is being manufactured and sent to the United States. He's going to preview what he's been going to be covering down there for us. But first, we have a store. If you'd like to support independent journalism and what we do here, you know, you want to buy a hoodie or buy a mug or a T-shirt or a hat and support independent journalism, it really helps what we do here on this program and keep the lights on, at least keep one of our streams running right now. So just go to redactedstore.com. You can pick up your hoodie, you can pick up your hat, you can pick up your mug, and all of those things over at redactedstore.com. Go check it out. See what you have. See what you like over there. Water bottles, etc. By the way, someone mentioned us and reached out to us and said, hey, I bought something off of your Facebook store. And that was a scammer, and we had to let you know that we do not have a Facebook store. The only place we have it is at redactedstore.com. You go to that website. We don't have a Facebook store. So if someone tries to scam you on Facebook or Instagram using our name or using the redacted logo and all that stuff, people try to put comments in our YouTube channel and they try to pretend that they're redacted and they're like, hey, call my WhatsApp number. That's a scam. Don't do that. But go to redactedstore.com directly and you'll be safe. That's our store, redactedstore.com. Now to the country of Colombia, which has been ravaged as a result of a failed peace accord, which has not been adhered to. Dan Cohen, redacted correspondent, is in Colombia. He's going to be filing a number of stories for us. If you've been missing him from our airwaves over the past week, this is where Dan is. He's in a coca field right now. Dan, what are you doing there? Can you give us a little hint and show us a little bit of behind the scenes of what you're working on as you cover what's happening in this country? It's just awful.
Yeah, Clayton, good to be with you. I am in rural Cauca, Colombia, in the southwest of the country, in an area called Argelia, which for years has been ridden by armed conflict. Now, this area was until 2016 under the control of the armed left-wing group called the FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, which battled for roughly 50 years until the 2016 peace accord to have a revolution. In 2016, this peace accord was signed between the government of then President Juan Manuel Santos and the FARC after years of brutal war with the United States supporting the Colombian government. And so this area in 2016 should have seen peace and prosperity come, but transformed from a hotbed of armed conflict and coca production into prosperity and peace, as I said. And so what you see all around me, these are all coca plants. This is coca leaf. This is what eventually becomes the cocaine that people in the United States and Europe and Asia produce. And it is really made from the suffering and sweat of people who have no choice but to, what they do is scrape these leaves off of the plants with their bare hands. It's just brutal, hard work. What many people describe to me as a form of slavery, in fact. And then they take these and they spend several hours out here every day of the week, scraping the leaves off of the plants, filling the bags, selling them to small laboratories. They're very basic, where they then process the coca leaves, turn them into a paste, which then goes to a type of laboratory they call a kitchen, and that becomes the cocaine that people consume. Now, all of that is supposed to change with the 2016 peace accord, but the governments, successive Colombian governments, first of Juan Manuel Santos, then of Iván Duque, and now of Gustavo Petro, with different political agendas, there's a similarity in that none of them have abided by the what the government was supposed to do. So the FARC, the armed groups, laid down their arms. The vast majority of them said, we're going to lay down our arms, and reintegrate, and the government very little to hold up their end, which is, okay, we're going to come in, develop the economy in those areas, have alternatives to coca production, have bananas, mangoes, all kinds of beautiful fruits that I'd never eaten until I came here, and that would be sold on the national and international market. So what's happened has not been fulfilled. Those promises have not been upheld, and instead people are forced to continue scraping leaves to survive. And what's hit them the hardest is the inflation crisis that we've all suffered. Here, the raspachines, which is what they call them, the leaf scrapers, they used to make about $25, $30 a day, spending the whole day scraping leaves. Now they make about $15. And so what that means is they can't buy milk or meat or basic necessities to feed their families. So it's a really difficult, brutal situation. And I'll have a number of reports coming out in the next upcoming about the situation here in Cauca, Colombia.
Yeah, and we should point out, of course, that this is all a man-made this is a man-made inflation crisis, right? With the sanctions against Russia, with what they did during lockdowns for lockdown economies. This, of course, as we've been pointing out on the show for years, has hurt small, you know, poor countries the most. These are the countries that we're going to get hit hardest, and you're seeing it right there in the flesh with these poor farmers.
Exactly, 100%. There's a 100% a man-made crisis between the inflation, the unfulfillment of these accords that are completely political decision. Basically, political will for some parties, it's total. For the previous government in Colombia, it was total opposition to the peace accord, and for the current government, it's hard to say why exactly. If it's lack of political will or fighting between the president and the Congress, which is more right wing, but in the end, it's the people who suffer here in Argelia, Cauca.
Dan Cohen in Colombia for us, and he's going to be filing a number of really interesting reports and interviews with people who are on the front lines fighting in this brutal guerrilla war. We're going to be talking about that as well on the show. So, Dan, thank you for filing this report and joining us with some barely available Wi-Fi and cell connection when we could get it. So we appreciate it. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks a lot. And only thanks to one of the leaf scrapers who actually shared. He made a hotspot so I could record this interview.
Well, amazing. Well, thank you. Please give our thanks to him for providing that. Unbelievable. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks a lot, Clayton.
Out in the hills there.
That is on location.
Colombia. Yeah, with awful cell signals, no cell service, and be able to use a hotspot from one of the coca. Workers there. So thanks, Dan. So we're interesting to see what's going to happen in that country. Hopefully we can bring some education to the audience about what's unfolding in that country as well. So thank you everyone for subscribing to the channel. And it's unbelievable that, hey, YouTube kicked us off there. We don't know what's going on. There's no outage or anything like that. So who knows why, but they didn't like our target story. But anyway, we'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time is when we stream live here, 4 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube, on Rumble, on Twitter, unless YouTube doesn't want us there. But we will be back here tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great night, everyone.